The 29th Gene Key. The transformational way of the 29th Gene Key moves from half-heartedness to devotion, and it's the way of commitment. This Gene Key is all about the power of commitment. And postponement is when we have a mental idea or an expectation about ourselves or our life. And if life doesn't appear to be moving in the direction of that mental construct, then our energy just withdraws from the present moment. And this is the dilemma of the 29th Gene Key. It's about the use of energy and our life force. So the withdrawal of life force can happen in a number of ways, depending on our character and our conditioning. If we're a repressive type person, then most likely we'll postpone our own dreams out of fear of letting someone else down, or out of an addictive pattern of some form. So we just go on doing something that hurts us, and that can be emotionally, physically, or mentally, because we simply don't know how to stop, and we get locked into a pattern, or a life choice, or a relationship, or a career, or whatever it is, and we become a victim of our own choice. Perhaps we put our own heart on hold for the sake of another person, or our children, or whatever it is. We're a mouse in one of those spinning wheels. And if we're more of a reactive type, then the chances are we'll quit what we've begun, or we might not even begin it. Either way, the shadow, which is half-heartedness, means we don't take the plunge into true commitment, which is the great fear of this shadow. And it's funny, really, how, well, I don't know if it's funny, but how some people who are afraid of commitment often lead such over-committed lives. True commitment can only be to one thing, and that's the present moment. Now, I know that sounds kind of mystical, but it's actually very profound when you think about it. Because life is all about making decisions, small and big decisions, and it's about staying true to the cycles that come out for, and it's about staying true to the cycles that come from those decisions. The ancient Chinese have referred to this hexagram, this Gene Key, the 29th, as the abysmal. And it's of deep relevance to us all. And the bottom line is that we don't know where our decisions are going to lead. The 29th shadow is not happy about that at all. We have to listen to the yes inside ourselves, and we have to trust in that above all else. So when we say yes to something, we're actually embarking on a journey of surrender, especially in our relationships. So half-heartedness is when we're not honest with ourselves and others, and that's when our life force withdraws. We postpone our life because we're not living it fully. We're trying to run ahead in our minds and we're missing the moment. So true commitment involves a deep trust in where we are right now. It involves a turning inwards and a slowing down inside. We don't postpone our life, hopping about from one thing to the next on the surface. Commitment is always in the now. You know, you can only be a genius now, not in the future. This 29th shadow has much of the world in its thrall, and it robs us of our true sort of joie de vivre. So many relationships, for example, just end before they've actually finished their natural cycles. And much of the wisdom of the world is missed because people don't know when to stop doing something that's hurting them. This 29th shadow is about the fear of commitment. So let that sink in deeply. Whatever we embark upon in life, what is the point of doing it and holding anything back? Yet this shadow, it will have us hold some part of ourselves back, and then we postpone our real destiny, which is to give of ourselves completely without expectation. It's amazing how deeply we fear this abyss, and what a tragedy it is that we miss the magic while we go on postponing the only thing in life that's essential, which is our presence in every moment. The 29th gift, commitment. We've seen how this 29th shadow has great collective power. And we have to remember that we're each geniuses, and genius is a hallmark of the gift frequency, and genius always breaks new ground. So, you know, life is dangerous and risky when it's viewed only from the mind. But this gift frequency is about living life from the heart, which means that risk is inherent. And this is what makes it fun. You know, and you can see that the programming partner here of the 29 is the 30th gift of lightness. It's about having fun. And if we have this gene key in our profile, then one of our greatest lessons in life is to give ourselves totally to every experience. This is the gift of commitment. You know, people use that word a lot, and I think many of us don't fully understand it. You know, as I've already said, there's only one true commitment, and it's not to the future. You know, how can you commit honestly to the future? It's not here. So our energy is not available to respond to it now. So how can we be authentic? We can only know the truth in the now. So commitment flies in the face of social expectations and even morality. Commitment has its own kind of wild morality. You know, when our energy says yes to something or to someone, it's showing its readiness to engage in a cycle of learning and evolution. And that doesn't mean we have to jump right into the abyss right away. You know, there are inner cycles, and particularly concerning desire. So when the 29th gift makes a clear decision, it doesn't make an emotional decision or an excited or a nervous decision. Those kind of decisions always come from the shadow. The gift makes a decision from a place of profound and quiet inner certainty. And think about the decisions you've made from that space. So this gene key, as I said, it has a certain genius. It's a funny kind of genius. It's about making luck. It's true. When we aren't drawn into emotional or desire decisions, then we create the conditions for good fortune. We have a kind of inbuilt barometer for where good fortune lies. And we have no idea how it works or when it will come. We just know that life is our greatest ally, and our life force knows when something is right. And this is a genius that extends itself naturally into an innate understanding of all relationships and their possible dynamics. So once we're freed from the whole postponement trip, we see how deeply that trip disturbs all relationships. So that naturally makes us want to help others, but not through interfering, rather through direct and heartfelt reflection, coming from our own natural, non-judgmental, and perhaps slightly amoral wisdom. So much of the genius of this gene key is about letting go of expectations. You know, we're all on a mystery ride. We may think that a decision will lead in one direction, but it ends up leading in quite a different one. You know, all humans have this 29th gene key inside, and it's attuned to our level of commitment, and that's something that can fluctuate. So the more we're anchored in the higher frequency of the heart, then the less we need to think our way in or out of situations in our life. You know, there are no incorrect decisions, actually, in life. The 29th gift inside each of us knows this above all, and it gives us a vast sense of inner freedom. You know, the funny thing is that as we begin to taste this freedom, we realize how little external conditions actually have to do with true fulfillment. So when we realize that, then we no longer postpone our lives either by hopping from one thing to another or a person to another, or by staying somewhere too long, you know, somewhere that no longer serves us. You know, we simply smile and then we give ourselves continuously to every moment, and that's true commitment. So I'd like to finish this gift, I think, by saying something a little risky. You know, this is the abysmal, after all. You know, so this may come from my own agenda a little bit that I've learned throughout my life, and in particular through my relationships. So this gene key is part of the codon ring of union, which means that it's a key to unlocking the power of love through relationships. And here's what I've learned, and mostly I've learned it through pain and through my own foolishness and my own fear and my own half-heartedness. You know, what I've learned is relationships blossom only through 100% commitment. I mean, that is a piece of gold dust, that statement. Relationships blossom only through 100% commitment. You know, it seems like a simple statement, but I tell you, it's amazing how much fear and wriggling that statement can generate in a person. You know, I've mentioned somewhere before that commitment can't be 99%. You know, 99% commitment is actually no different from 1% commitment. You know, 99% is still half-heartedness. And it's amazing how many of us keep this little part of ourselves secretly hidden away in our relationships. And I'm not talking about verbal communication here. This is in our chemistry with someone, so it runs much deeper than words. You know, we hold a little bit back from our partners, and we do this deep inside because of the fear that's in us. So ask yourself if you've done this, or if you're doing it now. And just the asking can be a complete revelation. You know, it took me several emotional crises to see this pattern inside myself. But I tell you, once I released it, everything changed. You know, relationships remain challenging, but the feeling of 100% commitment is just so terrifically powerful that it will simply ride out any storm. And it's not even about the other person anymore. It's about leaping into the abyss with eyes wide open. So I strongly recommend to anyone working with the Gene Keys to try and stay in your relationships, you know, rather than jumping out when it gets too hard or too heavy. You know, we've become this kind of lazy generation. I say stay and be surprised. You know, we need to hold our nerve through the challenge. You know, we can use any circumstance practically to learn how to keep our hearts open. And once we've learned that trick, you know, we're the master of the universe. The only circumstance, by the way, in which absolutely you should leave a relationship is in the case of physical abuse. Otherwise, you know, we should give it everything we've got until we've mastered this art of returning non-love with love. And that's the art that we're going to bring to perfection in the 29th city of devotion. The 29th city, devotion. You know, I love the 29th city. It's where all human beings are ultimately headed. It's devotion. We're all devotees of something. We just have to see what it is and transform it inside ourselves until that something becomes everything, or that someone becomes everyone. And this is the deep secret of the traditional guru-disciple relationship. You know, we have to surrender ourselves to the guru and let them become the conduit of our higher commitment. And they don't even have to be worthy. You know, sometimes disciples of false gurus have attained through the innocence of their surrender. You know, isn't that amazing? Don't you love life? The 29th Gene Key contains one of the highest teachings concerning relationships. And it's deeply connected to the spirit of Tantra, the surrender of the lover into the beloved. You know, as I said, we're all devoted to something. Such a truth in that. The egoist is devoted to his ego, the salesman to his profits, the mother to her children, the murderer to his victim, the seeker to the truth. You know, even the depressive is kind of devoted in a slanted way to their misery. You know, this is the great mystery of the Gene Keys, that the city is present even in the shadow as a seed. And the journey is to allow that seed to sprout and grow until it finally flowers and bears fruit. Half-heartedness causes suffering, and that realization leads to commitment. And at a certain level, commitment itself becomes more and more internalized until its true nature is revealed. And this is when commitment transforms into devotion. You know, the leap into the city can never be predicted. It's an act of grace. It's an acausal event, meaning that it occurs outside of time and space. So this gene key, this particular code in our DNA, is activated through a consistent deepening commitment to the present moment, and it manifests as devotion, which is the profound heartfelt knowing that love is the root nature of all reality. Love is known as percolating everything, and this insight moves deeper and deeper into our being until one day it just detonates inside. And usually the journey to the 29th city takes the form of a devotional path in which the devotee fixes his or her longing onto a kind of external form, in the full knowing that this form is really a representation of the universal love principle. You know, that's the devotional path, the Bhakti yoga. Nonetheless, the absolute worship of the object, whether it's guru, God, or loved one, it leads to a series of inevitable breakthroughs. You know, we're not so much of a devotional culture anymore in the West. You know, since the Middle Ages, we've taken a more scientific path, an intellectual path, and consequently, we've kind of lost our devotional qualities. And we even tend to look down on devotional cultures, thinking of them as backward. You know, Islam, for example, is deeply devotional, as is Hinduism. And Christianity used to be so, and in some places it still is, but it's lost some of that early ecstatic quality that was carried by its best-known mystics. The problem for the human being, the modern human being, is that devotion, it kind of appears to be blind. You know, we even have that term, blind devotion. And we all know its extreme manifestations as well, so we've learned to distrust it. What we really need is a rebirth of devotion. And nowhere is this more needed and more possible than in our relationships. And there are few spiritual teachers in this realm, and I mean real teachers, people who have learned from and transformed their pain through their relationships. The fact is, devotion, it is blind. You know, only a blind one would be mad enough to jump into the abyss of the human wound. But the blind one isn't really blind. You know, their eyes, they're the eyes of trust. The eyes of a person that leaps and goes on leaping because their love is returned in every situation and its return magnified. You know, our frequency rises whenever we pour out our heart unconditionally to another being in service of the highest. We move in this gene key from half-heartedness to full-heartedness. And the more we love in this way, the more pressure we create within the atoms at the heart of creation. And eventually, all that love ruptures the space-time continuum, and the inexplicable event occurs. Subject merges with object, and the one principle is all that's left. You know, it's an old Sufi equation. Lover merges with beloved, and all that's left over is love. That's the 29th city. Here's a story or a poem just to finish with. Often makes me weep. I'll try and read it. It's by Hafiz. It's called Bring the Man to Me. A perfect one was travelling through the desert. He was stretched out around the fire one night and said to one of his close ones, "There is a slave loose not far from us. He escaped today from a cruel master. His hands are still bound behind his back. His feet are also shackled. I can see him right now praying for God's help. Go to him. Ride to that distant hill. About 100 feet up and to the right, you'll find a small cave. He's there. Do not say a single word to him. Bring the man to me. God requests that I personally untie his body and press my lips to his wounds." The disciple mounts his horse and within 2 hours arrives at the small mountain cave. The slave sees him coming. The slave looks frightened. The disciple, on orders not to speak, gestures toward the sky, pantomiming, "God saw you in prayer. Please come with me. A great murshid has used his heart's divine eye to know your whereabouts." The slave cannot believe the story and begins to shout at the man and tries to run, but trips from his bindings. The disciple becomes forced to subdue him. Think of this picture as they travel now. The million candles in the sky are lit and singing. Every particle of existence is a dancing altar that some mysterious force worships. The earth is a church floor whereupon in the middle of a glorious night walks a slave, weeping, tied to a rope behind a horse, with a speechless rider taking him toward the unknown. Several times with all his might the slave tries to break free, feeling is being returned to captivity. The rider stops, dismounts, brings his eyes near the prisoner's eyes. A deep kindness there communicates an unbelievable hope. The rider motions, "Soon, soon you will be free." Tears roll down from the rider's cheeks in happiness for this man. Anger, all this fighting and tormenting want, "Oh, beloved, God has seen you and sent a close one. Beloved, God has seen your heart in prayer and sent Hafiz